Welcome to Conversations. My name is Amy Adams. I'm your host and the broadcaster of this podcast. In today's episode, I'm going to speak about pain. A recent experience where I had some physical pain reminded me of the time I injured myself, and it was the first time that I really understood how chronic pain could make somebody very angry with the world and how difficult it is to overcome sometimes. So today I wanted to talk about the power of our minds and the power of meditation to, if not relieve some of the pain, but for us to be able to manage our emotional state around it. Khalil Gibran, he was a Lebanese poet, and one of his gifts to humanity was his work called The Prophet. And in this book, there are many different sections on various topics. And he did discuss pain in one section. Your pain is the breaking of the shell that encloses your understanding. Even as the stone of the fruit must break, that its heart may stand in the sun, so must you know pain. And could you keep your heart in wonder at the daily miracles of your life, your pain would not seem less wondrous than your joy. And you would accept the seasons of your heart even as you have always accepted the seasons that pass over your fields, and you would watch with serenity through the winters of your grief. Much of your pain is self-chosen. It is the bitter potion by which the physician within you heals your sick self. Therefore, trust the physician and drink his remedy in silence and tranquility. For his hand, though heavy and hard, is guided by the tender hand of the unseen. And the cup he brings, though it burn your lips, has been fashioned of the clay which the potter has moistened with his own sacred tears. So much to unravel there, and I'm not gonna have enough time to do that because I wanna talk a little bit more about pain, physical pain, and also a little bit about emotional pain. But I think this idea of accepting pain and not resisting it is something that comes up again and again through various writings and teachings from other people as well, other gurus and sages and poets and shamans and whatever you want to call people. The idea is that I actually want to start at the end, because where he says, and the cup he brings, though it burn your lips, has been fashioned of the clay which the potter has moistened with his own sacred tears. That cup, your pain, that is burning your lips as you drink it, it comes from the same place that everything in the entire universe and it comes from. And it is something that is from creation, because we experience creation through our physical bodies on this earth. I'm not going to pretend to know a lot of different things, but this is what we are. We're here, we're human beings on a planet, and this is our experience through our sensory, through our sensory limitations. And I discussed senses in another podcast, and I'll put that in the show notes. But that's a very important part of remembering our experience of life, is that we just can't even begin to fathom what really life is. We can only understand it through our own experience and through the experience of others. In the very beginning, he says, your pain is the breaking of the shell that encloses your understanding. And this is really a pivotal point sometimes for many people to, and whether it's emotional pain or physical pain, I'm not really differentiating here. This is a point of departure for people to be reminded of that they're here in a body, because sometimes we kind of get into our rotary, our, how do you say, our, instead of actually contemplating or being like conscious of what's happening in the moment. We just kind of go through the motions. And sometimes we can get caught into like all of our responsibilities and our ideas of what we're supposed to be doing and how we're supposed to be doing things. Your pain, whether it's an upset in your emotional life or something in physical life, reminds you that this life, this time, our concept of what our reality is, it's temporal. And we may not have an opportunity to continue to experience it. And we definitely are not going to have an opportunity to continue to experience it at some time when we leave this earth, when we leave our physical bodies. So it can remind you to, it can be a way to, for self-examination and contemplation. We can choose to take some time every day to contemplate our reality, do some inner work. We can connect with all that is. We can take some time to do those things. We can also get onto a
different
path. So that could be possibly through abusing alcohol or other drugs. It could be through neglecting your own self, not loving yourself. I want to share a little story about when I was a child. I think I was about 10 or 11 years old, and I was on a camping trip with my family. I sometimes would get ear aches, and I did have one on this trip. And I remember being in a lot of pain and then going to the doctor and getting medicine or whatever. And I remember napping. And then I remember very clearly something that's always kind of stayed with me, because I realized the power of our minds. Because I woke up from my nap and I was playing with my brother and I was having a good time and I was feeling better. And I remembered universally, even if it was this medicine that was treating my ear, there is this idea that you're returning to the state of healing. At some point, my brother, trying to be kind, said to me, "How's your ear? How are you feeling?" And it was at that moment when I realized how psychological and pain can be, because with those words, I was reminded of the fact, because I had forgotten I even had an earache. I had, and it was that really, it was actually at that very moment where suddenly my ear felt like it was going to explode. So my ignorance or my forgetting of the pain, and being immersed in other actions was my relief. I was just being connected and playing and enjoying my life. So sometimes medicines are actually not necessarily, maybe they're helping with some bacteria or some kind of thing like that. But ultimately, what they're doing is they're enhancing and helping your body to finish the healing process. When we're not in the state of normal physiological functioning and we're in pain, or we're in disease, then we are, we forget. It's like we forget what it's like to be in this harmonious physical state. So can we remember what it's like to get back into that state? And I think this is something that meditation can help with in the healing process, because we can sit quietly, we can empty our minds, we can feel our thoughts and beings or whatever, and we can connect to nothingness. And when we do that, when we kind of step back from ourselves and kind of just connect to reality, really, as it truly is, then we can try to find a place where there is no pain. I hope this is making sense.
It's just something to think about. I mean, the mind-body connection is so strong. There's been so many studies about that. I think one of the ways towards healing, and obviously there are some diseases that there are certain things that we just can't fix. So can we remember the normal functioning of our bodies? One of the things that is really great to listen to when I had mentioned the binaural beats, or you can listen to chants, because these are vibrational sounds that can bring you into a state of rest and relaxation and away from the kind of brain activity of just thinking and thought. So vibrations are... is how how pain can be transformed, and how different problems that we have with pain can be transformed into normal functioning once again. And the reason why this is true is because vibrations are the structure of the material universe, including the human body. So we have the experience of pain, and then our feelings and emotions are triggered and can bring us confusion, and this is what can enhance this whole pain. So another way to, so the idea is that we can reduce our pain, and by containing our feelings and emotions and not repressing them, but feeling them, allowing them, and recognizing that they are that, that they are chemicals, that they are electrical impulses in our brains, and that we can bring ourselves into a more harmonious state through meditation, through rest, through relaxation, and to ask for help from others. If you need help because you're in pain and you can't do something, don't force yourself to do it. If it really needs to be done, ask someone to help you. So sometimes the idea too, that when you receive the help, it is reaffirming and healing because you know that you're not in this world alone. I mean, in some ways, yes, you are. Nobody's going to rescue you necessarily, but somebody can offer a hand to help you in a time when you're struggling. And maybe sometimes you'll be disappointed because somebody won't help you. But then we ask someone else to help us. But we can always recognize that we are not alone. There are other people in this world. We can help each other. I mean, it's sometimes we, you know, feel like, okay, I don't have parents, I don't have siblings, or I don't have whatever. I live, you know, maybe people, they move to another place, like in the United States, a lot of people, they take jobs in different areas. In Europe, the same thing. You grow up in one place and then you take a job in somewhere else, so you're separated from your family. So you, you know, create new families and new friends and new ways of being.
So I've spoken about physical pain and how it can make you angry and how to kind of overcome that a bit with meditation. And for me, like chanting meditations really work well, or listening to some other people chanting, or some kind of ohms, or any kind of soothing, relaxing thing that can put your brain into a more relaxed state. And also, I think it helps you put it into perspective too, because when you're relaxed, you kind of, when you take your focus away from your pain, you can only focus on pain, it becomes greater. I was also thinking a lot about pain because my two dogs have both been sick recently, and one was just tired and had apparently some kind of high blood pressure, and she's on medication, and she's better now, but she was really having some kind of struggle. But they would be like sudden things that would come on, and they weren't really like a pain that was in her body overall. We resolved that. But my other dog, who is Marika, she's 14 years old, and from the time that I took her in, she had very bad teeth because she lived on the street for 4 years. Now, they mostly didn't bother her at all, and so I never had it an operation or anything like that to remove some of them, even though they didn't look pretty. They were functioning, she was happy, and she was running around. But now as she's older, things are wearing out, and she has had some struggles recently. Babies will cry, but dogs, they can't really tell us that they have something wrong. The reason why I'm talking about this is because I think in contrast to us humans, like, we can express ourselves, and we can tell somebody that we don't feel good, and we can get ourselves to the chiropractor or to the acupuncturist or to the, other naturopath or other doctor so that we can learn from that. And then there's some kind of, like, grace with it. I don't know if that makes sense, really, but I think there is, like, a kind of, like, she's holding herself and she's sleeping mostly to heal, but it's not something that she's not crying, she's not struggling, she's not. I think sometimes we struggle and cry even more so sometimes, especially if we know that somebody's listening. So it's not that we want to feel the pain, it's just that, you know, we want somebody to help us and help us come out of. And so we can express ourselves in a certain way. When my Aunt Rose was in a nursing home for a couple of years, because after she fell and her hip was bad and she had Parkinson's and things, and she couldn't really walk anymore. And my Uncle Frank wasn't able to lift her and do things like to care for her. And she needed help. She needed to be in that place. And the room next to her was another woman who I don't know what her physical disability was that she was there, but she was in a lot of pain and she was struggling and she would cry out often. And I know the thing is that we don't want to hear people in pain. We don't want to hear the struggle, the cry, the, you know, complaining. A lot of this kind of attitude, like, suck it up and, you know, be strong, it's fine, but we don't really like it, I don't think, as a species. And I don't know if it's because we don't want to, you know, I mean, obviously you don't want to see somebody else suffer or experience pain, but I'm not really sure. I'm sure somebody's done research about that or has written about it, but anyway, that's my thoughts on it. So I will just close this episode today with that thought, and then we'll probably speak about emotional pain another day. I spoke about that one other time in another episode on how you can kind of overcome some of that, but yeah, okay. So I really I appreciate you listening to the podcast. I hope that you will subscribe to the YouTube channel, that you will subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform, wherever you are. It's on iTunes and Spotify and all the different platforms, wherever you are. iHeartRadio. But I really wanted to just do this mini-sode because I think, I don't know, share our stories and our experiences. We can all learn from one another. So share your story with me on Instagram. Send me a message at Conscious Life Space, or you can post to the Facebook page, or you can send me an email, hello@consciouslife.guru, and I will I'd love to actually hear from you, because I'd love to hear what people have to say, and I'd like to share some people's stories here too. All right, thanks. Have a great day.
Now, before I sign off, I'd like to ask you to subscribe to the channel of YouTube if you're here, or to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening. And please leave a review. It means a lot. And don't forget to check out our website, ConsciousLife.guru. Until next time.